It is good to be with you today. Take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 7, if you would please. Joshua chapter 7 this morning. If you are a guest here today, let me tell you, I am not our senior pastor. Pastor Abby and Mrs. Abby are away on a vacation, and so we're happy that they can get away and take a little break, much deserved rest and time of refreshment. But I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach this morning. And be sure to come back this evening. Evangelist Steve Piggott will be preaching once again this evening. I know he preached last week. And looking forward to what God is going to do through Brother Piggott here this evening. As my youngest daughter found out I was going to preach, she had a few questions for me. Not particularly in this order, but one of her questions was, "Are you nervous?" And I said, "I'm not really. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach and to share God's word." And so, maybe a little nervous, but not too nervous. But her first question was, "So how long is the message, Dad?" Let's get right to the point, right? And so I had my computer in front of me, so I scrolled through pages and pages of notes. And her eyes got bigger and bigger. But don't worry, it's not really that long. I was teasing her a little bit there last night. Joshua chapter 7, we want to read verses 6 through 9 here this morning. Interesting passage. And Joshua here, this is probably the low point in the ministry of Joshua as the leader of Israel. Put yourself in Joshua's shoes. You are taking over after Moses. Boy, that's a tough role right there. And so this is just a couple battles into things. Take a look with me, Joshua chapter 7. Look with me at verse 6. It says this, "And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, 'Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?'" Joshua is questioning God here, the low point in Joshua's ministry. He's questioning, where is the God that just a short time ago, a few days earlier, a few weeks earlier, had defeated Jericho? Where is God now? Does it ever seem like God is just not working like he used to? What is going on? Things just did not make sense for Joshua at this time. The title of our message this morning is, "Where is the God who defeated Jericho?" You know, I believe God wants to speak to us here today through his word. And I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you're tuning in online. But are we ready and open for what God has for us here this morning? I pray that we are. I pray that our hearts are receptive, our minds are open. And so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Father, as we open your word, Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts and lives. Lord, I pray that we would be ready for the day we stand before you there at the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, I pray that through this time, you would work. Just use me as your messenger and speak to our hearts through your word. Lord, may we be yielded to you. May our hearts be tender at this time. Just work now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we moved from Indiana about 7 years ago. And we lived in Indiana there. My wife and I got married. We moved to the South Bend, Indiana area. And we saved up our money. After 1 year, we bought a house there. And after a year or so, we made ourselves a little garden. And one of the things we enjoyed about our time there in Indiana, we enjoyed gardening. And before long, that little garden grew and became bigger and bigger. And we enjoyed raising a variety of fruits and vegetables there in our garden. One of the things we grew a few years were tomatoes. Now, why we grew tomatoes, you know, I don't really know. We don't even like tomatoes, right? But they're fun to grow. They're pretty easy to grow. And so we would grow tomatoes, and we would give them away and do different things with them. Once in a while, we'd be left with them. We'd throw them against trees and stuff. You know, you'd have to get rid of your tomatoes. But we enjoyed growing them. One of the years, I decided I was going to make salsa. And so we had a bunch of tomatoes left over, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to make some salsa. And I had a friend who had made salsa and canned it, one of our teachers at school, and she'd bring in the salsa. And I'm like, I'm going to try that. So I got her recipe, and so made the salsa, and it turned out pretty good. Now, when I kind of like cooking. You know, I don't do a lot of it, but I enjoy cooking. I enjoy experimenting. For me, cooking is like a science. You try different things. You know, I know there are those set recipes out there, but I like to experiment a little. And so with the salsa, I learned a number of things. We grew jalapenos. We like jalapenos. But I learned the longer you cook them, the milder the salsa will be. I mean, you have to learn these tricks. One of my earlier batches had a little too much zip to it, let's just say. It was spicy. But I tried different things. I went to the store. I studied the salsa jars just to see if my ingredients were matching up with what they were putting in the salsa. I did a lot of experimenting with it. And for the most part, it turned out good. One year, my mother-in-law was visiting us late one summer, and she said, hey, I want you to teach me how you make your salsa. And so I'm like, hey, great, we'll do it together. I love my mother-in-law. I know a lot of mother-in-law jokes out there and everything, but no, I have the best mother-in-law. We get along great, and we enjoy our time together. And so we set out to make salsa together. And so we took the skins off the tomatoes, got the peppers all minced up there, and the onions and the garlic and everything. And we started putting everything into the pot. And she's like, well, how much of this should I put in? I'm like, just throw in a little bit. Oh, let's try some of this. Well, how much of this? And I'm like, oh, just throw in, you know, a handful of that or a small scoop of that. And you could just see the frustration level starting to set in. I found out my mother-in-law is the type of cook who measures everything. You follow the recipe. I'm not so much a follow the recipe type of chef, right? And basically what it was, the unknown was frustrating her. And she's like, how are we ever going to know what we did? We'll never be able to replicate this if it turns out good. And she was questioning whether or not it was going to turn out good. But we had fun together. We made salsa, although I know I frustrated her at that time. But today we still laugh about our time making salsa together. But you know what? Isn't it nice when life is steady and consistent and you follow the recipe and things go the way they're supposed to go and life is just kind of settled? But that's not where Joshua was right now at this time. You know, when things are unsettled, it's more difficult. And I think all of us would, if we were honest, would say, you know, the last few months have been a little unsettling, haven't they? And that's where Joshua was at this time. And so we want to take a look here at the situation that Joshua was in, and I think we can glean much that will help us here today. Look with me. Here, first of all, the situation. We have three easy points. The first one is just the situation here today, okay? What was the situation Joshua was in? Well, take a look with me back at chapter 7, verse 1. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, many of us are familiar with this story. And we see this, we know this is talking about the battle of Jericho. This tremendous victory that took place in Jericho. But as we are reading this story, Joshua did not have the knowledge here in verse 1 that we have. Joshua did not know that Achan had taken of the accursed thing. Joshua did not know that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. So the situation from our perspective is a little different. Put yourself in Joshua's shoes. This was all unknown to him. Look down with me a little further here in verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men. And they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And then that leads us to the verses that we just read earlier. The loss at Ai. Men died. 36 men lost their lives in this battle. These men were fathers. These men were husbands. And yet they did not come home that day. Joshua did not know. He did not understand this. You know, back in Joshua chapter 1, if you were at our graduation service a couple weeks ago, Pastor Abby preached from Joshua chapter 1. And he mentioned verse 5 there. His main text was verse 5, where God told Joshua, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You say, God said he would never leave Joshua, that no one would be able to stand before him. And yet what happened here? We lost to this small army of Ai. This wasn't supposed to happen. Hey, Joshua saw the Red Sea. He remembered that. He saw God stop the waters of the Jordan. He saw the mighty walls of Jericho crumble. But this wasn't supposed to happen. And so that brings us here to our text, to verse 6 and through 9, where Joshua is struggling. Notice with me, how is he struggling? Look with me, what does he say to God here in verse 7 as he cries out to God? Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us? Joshua says, we would have been better off on the other side of the Jordan, never even entering this land you promised us. This is the leader of Israel saying this? You see, Joshua had lost purpose here. His eyes were off of what God had called him to do. He's like, he was frustrated. He was despairing. He was discouraged. This did not make sense to Joshua. It gets even worse. Look with me in verse 8 here, what we read. Notice this. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? You know, he's blaming God. God, why did you even bring us into this land? And he moves on and he's playing the what if game. He just starts letting his mind go. What's going to happen next? You see, Joshua was despairing. He was discouraged, thinking God was not near. You know, have you ever been where Joshua was? Things just aren't going our way. Even getting to the point of blaming God. You know, I've tried reading my Bible. I've tried serving you, God, and things just aren't working out. What's going on? Put yourself in Joshua's shoes. What if you were over the entire nation of Israel? This was your second battle, and you couldn't even defeat this little army of Ai? What's going to happen ahead? And that's exactly what Joshua is thinking and saying here. So this is the situation that we find Joshua in here this morning. Second point. First of all, the situation. Number two, what is the difference? What was the difference from the Battle of Jericho to the Battle of Ai? What changed? Well, as we see here, as we look in chapter 7, notice with me in verse 2, the plan or the program was the same. Okay, what was the plan? Well, they sent spies. They were wise. They sent spies to spy out the land. They did this with Jericho. Remember the two spies that came to Rahab's house? They sent spies and they spied out the land. The plan was the same. The program was the same. He was acting wisely. So that wasn't any different. But what was missing? Well, what was missing was the power of God upon them. It was not that God had changed, but the problem was with the nation of Israel here. And so take a look with me. What did God say here? In verse 1, we see that Israel had sinned and committed a trespass, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. Israel had sinned, and not only had they sinned, the sin was being hidden. It was hidden in Achan's tent. You know, each of us has a problem with sin. The first difference was this problem of sin. Sin creates problems. Sin is a problem we all have to deal with. Sin will destroy. Sin is rebellion against God. You know, as a parent, we understand this. All parents, you deal with your kids. I remember when Samuel was just little. He was almost 2 years old, just a little guy, cute little guy. He was a little blonde-headed kid. He had glasses from when he was really small. Samuel and I were sitting in our living room one evening. We had a fire in the fireplace. It was a cold evening. We had a beautiful fire in the fireplace. And in front of our fireplace, we had some ceramic tiles. And Samuel knew he was not allowed, when we had a fire, he was not allowed on the ceramic tiles. Just for safety. So we had a fire. We were just sitting there. And Samuel, just sitting there, laying there, and we were talking. And he looks up at me, and he's smiling, and he's tapping his hand on the floor, on the carpet. And he looks up at me and smiles, and he reaches out his hand, and he's tapping his hand on the tiles, the forbidden tiles. Such a cute little fella. But what a little rebel. He was directly disobeying the rules that we had set forth, and he knew it was wrong. Now, as a parent, you know, why do we have those rules? Because we don't want him to have any fun, right? No. Fire's a lot of fun to play with. You know, you have a campfire. It's kind of fun to poke around in a fire, right? I like to have a poker stick out at a campfire, and you're poking around. And, oh, boy, a little guy, he could have a lot of fun poking around in a fire. But I'd never let him do that at that age because fire is dangerous. And I love him, and I want to protect him. You know what? God loved the nation of Israel far too much to let them go on in their sin. He knew what sin would do to them. Sin will destroy. It's interesting. God clearly calls it the accursed thing. When Achan was confronted with it, Achan called him the spoils. You know, Achan didn't have the same view that God had. What about us? Are we obeying God? Are we letting sin settle in our lives? Sin we're not dealing with. You know, I had a friend who was talking to me a little while ago who was struggling financially. And we were just talking through things, and I asked him, well, are you honoring God with your first fruits? You know, are you tithing? Are you giving to God? Are you honoring God and what he asks us to do? And he kind of stumbled around, and he's like, well, no, not really. You know, how do you expect God's blessing when we're not obeying him in the basics? Teenagers, are you obeying and honoring your parents? Or are you hiding things and not being honest with them? To each of us, I would say, let's not let our pride keep us from being right with God. Folks, when we sin, we all sin. But we need to deal with our sin God's way. Or are we hiding and harboring sin in our lives? God loves us too much to let us go on in our sin harboring it. So the first difference here we see was sin. But you know, there was another difference in this battle. And I think this difference may have even been a bigger factor than the first difference. You say, how can you be a bigger factor than that? Well, what had happened? The children of Israel had crossed the Jordan River. God miraculously brought them across the Jordan River. They came up to Jericho, and God miraculously made the walls of Jericho fall down. And then they came to Ai, a small place. They sent the spies. Oh, it's just a small army. Let's just send 2,000 or 3,000. We've got them. Hey, God, we don't even need you in this. We can handle this one. I got this. It doesn't actually say that in the text. But you know what is missing in the text? Joshua never went to the Lord and asked him for wisdom in this battle. Joshua never sought the Lord, never prayed. Who needs to? It's Ai. We've got Ai covered. You know, Jericho, we needed God there. I mean, they had mighty walls. The city was closed up. How could we defeat Jericho? But this is Ai. You see, self-reliance had set in after just a couple major victories. You know, I don't know this for sure. I can't say this for sure, but I believe this. I believe if Joshua had sought the Lord regarding Ai, I think God would have revealed the sin to him before they went to the battle. I don't know that for sure, but I really believe that. That's my own personal belief from this passage. I think God would have revealed it to him. But this was the battle they never called on the Lord. How about us? Do we just call out on God for the big things? You know, it's okay, God. I can handle this. I don't need you today. But if I need you, I'll be sure to come to you. You know, that's not the way God wants us to live. God saved us through our faith in him, and he wants us to live by faith. Yes, God gives us brains. He gives us abilities. He wants us to use those abilities. He wants us to use our minds. But God wants us to trust in him. You see, what was missing was God's supernatural working. Folks, it is so easy for us to depend upon programs. Hey, they sent the spies in. They did what they were supposed to do. But think of us. We depend upon programs. We depend upon the programs of a church. You know, we send our kids to Awana, that's good. We go to BSF when we have it, right? We're busy, we're singing in the choir, we're going through all the programs of the church, we're sending our kids to the Christian school. You know, I'm having my devotions. But are we living our lives absent of the power and the working of Almighty God? You see, it's so easy to fall into this trap. God could so easily have handled Ai, just like he did before. You think about God holding back the Jordan River. Back in chapter 3, just flip back with me, just two chapters back, a few chapters back there, actually. Chapter 3 and verse 15, notice this. It says, "And as they that bear the ark were come into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth his banks all the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up an heap very far from the city of Adam." I mean, picture this. The waters of the Jordan piling up into a huge heap. God was able to do that. What could Joshua have done to make that happen? Humanly speaking, picture one of us trying to stop the waters of a river. You say, there's nothing we can do. Exactly, but God could do it. This was nothing to him. He was able to do that. And notice this, verse 17, "The priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until the people were passed clean over Jordan. We see the power of God here. We see the timing of God here. He kept the waters piled up until all the Israelites were passed over. Think about this with me. What if 3/4 of the Israelites had passed over and God accidentally let the waters go? It would have been disaster, right? No, but he held the waters until the last Israelite was passed over. They got the rocks out of the river, the priest got over, and boom, here come the waters. Wouldn't you have loved to see the waters come rushing down after that? That would have been a sight to see. Wow. Hey, God was faithful. We see God's power. We see God's working here. Next thing, flip over to chapter 5 with me. Chapter 5 and verse 11. You want to see God's power once again? God's amazing power, God's supernatural power that we need. Look with me at verse 11. It says, "And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow, after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day." You say, how do we see God's power in that? Well, look at the next verse. "And the manna ceased on the morrow, after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." You think about this. God had provided manna for 40 years for the children of Israel. 6 days of the week, the manna was there. Consistently, faithfully, God provided the manna. They cross the Jordan River. They enter the promised land. What happens? They eat of the grain of the promised land. And the next morning, God stops the manna. And since that day, God has never, again, to the best of my knowledge, provided manna for anyone. You talk about God's power. You talk about God's timing. You see, the problem wasn't with God. The problem was with Israel. You think about the walls of Jericho. These mighty walls of this mighty city, Jericho. They march around the city 6 days in a row, one time a day. 7 times the final day, they cry out, they blow the trumpets, and what happens? The walls fall down. You see, if you look with me, look in chapter 6, verse 2. Notice what God says. "The Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." What really happened here? God gave Jericho to the children of Israel. God's power and God's timing. You know, one more example, up in chapter 10, if you just jump ahead a couple chapters, I love this story. The kings have heard about what God has done, so they gather together. These multiple kings, these multiple armies are gathered together against the children of Israel. And the Israelites are fighting them. Look with me in chapter 10 and verse 11. "And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them, unto Azekah, and they died. And there were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword." You talk about God's power and God's timing. As they are fighting this battle, there just happened to be a hailstorm at that time. God caused it. And he killed more people with hail than the Israelites killed with the sword. You see, God gave them the victory. Oh, that we would rely on God and not become self-reliant. You see, the problem was not with God, it was with Israel. And folks, I want to challenge us. This is an area we better take heed. And I am preaching to myself. You know, we live in a society, we are so blessed. We have so much. Do we really need God? Do we really need to depend upon him? You know, it's so easy to live our lives and just, you know, God, I've got this. It's okay. We can be self-reliant. Are we only trusting the Lord when we get in over our heads? Or are we trusting him day by day? You want to know the first step to drifting from God? become self-reliant. You see, things still look the same. We're still doing the same motions. We're still going to church. We're still having our devotions. But we're not depending upon Him. We're depending upon us, our experience, our works. And everything can look the same, and yet the focus is not upon God, it's upon us. We become self-reliant. So we've seen the situation. We've seen the difference. So finally, here in this passage, what is the solution here today? Well, thankfully, God responds to Joshua. And so what is this road to victory? Take a look with me here in verse 10, back in chapter 7. So Joshua cries out to the Lord, has a little pity party there. He's despairing, he's discouraged. He's lost sight of what God's called him to do. Notice chapter 7, verse 10. How does God answer Joshua? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? God says, Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. What was God's message to Joshua? Joshua, get up. Get up and go forward. It's time to get up and go. You know, God did not fail Joshua, nor can he fail us. God's power was still there. His timing was still there. But God did this in love. And lest we be too hard on Joshua, this was a low point in Joshua's life. Joshua was a godly man. You know, which shows us, boy, we better be careful because this could happen to any of us as well. But if you look ahead in Joshua's life, let me just read one verse towards the end of Joshua's life. Joshua 23:14. Joshua bears testimony to Israel. He says, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. You know, maybe you were where Joshua was. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe this pandemic has us down. Maybe things have just not gone as we planned. Maybe you've done your best and you feel like God has failed you. I don't know, maybe you were serving the Lord and someone said something mean to you and discouraged you. You know, what is the answer God says? God tells Joshua, get up. Hey, get up, it's time to go forward. And I would challenge us to do the same. Hey, let's get up, let's get going again. Don't fall by the wayside. Hey, God is still there. He is still powerful. The problem is not with God. Let's get up. Let's draw nigh to Him. So that's the first thing we see. Look with me at the next verse here. Notice what he says, verse 13. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. And so God lays out the plan. Hey, tomorrow morning, this is what I want you to do. Bring the tribes by and break it down family by family. And they're going to do that. And sure enough, Achan's going to be found out. But notice the instruction God says, sanctify yourselves. So what does it mean to sanctify ourselves? Well, to sanctify means to take something and set it apart. It's special. Set it apart from sin to God. We need to deal with this problem of sin, and we need to be set apart to God. You may have something in your home that is sanctified. You may have a special set of dishes that you only use when company comes. You use everyday dishes, But then you have these special dishes, maybe some china that's been in your family for years. It's set apart. It's special. Well, God says, sanctify ourselves. Sin is our enemy. It will destroy us. And it is a problem we must deal with. But we need to differentiate here and make sure we understand this. You know, there are two groups of people we're talking to here that need to deal with sin. And you're in one of the two groups, each of us. And we better realize that. Listen carefully. Do not be deceived. Have you turned from your sin and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? In John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus called this being born again as he was talking with Nicodemus. He says, ye must be born again. It is a one-time event or decision that changes us for life. Just like I have a physical birthday, there must also be a point in time where I believe and I cry out to God and I turn from my sin to Christ. You know, so many times people confuse this and they think it's something, oh, I'm working towards that. I'm about 80% of the way there, I've heard people say. Well, that's not how it works. It's a one-time decision of turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and placing our faith and trust in him. It's not just adding Jesus to your life. I've been at a couple funerals where I've heard, just live as you are, go on in your life. Jesus died for everyone. God just wants us to live as we are. You know what? That is not the truth. I heard two different ministers say that, and they were false prophets. They were false ministers. Because what does God say in his word? Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Hold your finger here in Joshua, but turn over to 1 Corinthians 6. I just want to read three verses to us to make sure we have a clear understanding here. First Corinthians chapter 6. Look with me at verse 9. God tells us through the Apostle Paul, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know, what do these verses teach us? Hey, religion cannot save us. You know, we think if we just do religious acts, that'll cover our sin. You know, that's not what God says. You see, there has to be a turning away from our sin to our Savior, where the Lord Jesus Christ makes us a new creature. We can never go to church enough to be right with God. Religion is based upon me and what I have done, and we need to understand this. True salvation is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You can never do enough to be right with God. Religion is one of the devil's greatest tools of deception. It makes people think, oh, I'm good. I've got this. I'm good. You know, I'm religious. I go to church. I give money to the church. I'm nice to people. But folks, don't be deceived. Many people are going to end up in hell because of religion. We don't need religion. We need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, folks, if you are in the first group we're talking about here are those who have not been genuinely born again. And if that's where you are today, you need to deal with your sin, because your sin will keep you from God for all eternity, because we will be judged for our sin unless we place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we sanctify ourselves? It's through faith, turning from our sin, and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, if you are not sure today, make sure of that today. If you have questions, call our church. Come see us after the service. We would love to help you with that decision. But you know, there's a second group of people here. Those who have been born again. The second group, you're either not born again or you are born again. You know, the children of Israel were God's chosen people. They knew God. And yet, you know, when we know God, when we've trusted Him as our Savior, we still sin. I hate to say it. We're not perfect after we're saved. We know that. We still have this flesh. We still struggle with sin. But folks, are we dealing with sin God's way? Are we quick to confess and forsake our sin? Or are we harboring it? We know we're not right with God, and so we hide it. Do not harbor sin in your lives. Look back in Joshua chapter 7 with me. Look at verse 21. Here was Achan's response when Achan was confronted. Notice this. Notice what he says. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. And I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. You see, Achan knew he was hiding things from God. You want to be in a miserable place? Put yourself in Achan's shoes that morning as they're bringing all the tribes in front of Joshua. And this tribe is chosen. How do you think Achan was feeling at that time? And then they start to separate families. And all of a sudden, his family is chosen. And it gets smaller and smaller until they pinpoint who it was. You see, when we are hiding things from God, that is a miserable place to be. Because God, as our Heavenly Father, loves us and will chasten us. Do not harbor sin in your life. You cannot hide things from God. Do you want God's blessing? Do you want God's power? Deal with sin God's way. Be set apart from sin to God. There's one final thing here we want to look at, and that is the third thing here. He says, get up. He says, sanctify yourselves. But the final thing here is in chapter 8, verse 1. Notice this. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people, and his city, and his land. Hey, the final thing, we get up, we sanctify ourselves, but then we go forward, trusting the Lord. God gives them the victory over Ai. God is faithful. He was faithful to his word here to Joshua. And that's the solution for us today as well. You say, these are difficult times. But God is greater. Don't forget God's power. Don't forget God's timing. So where are we today? Are we living in God's power? Or are we living in the natural strength of our flesh, walking by sight? Where is the God who brought down the walls of Jericho? He is alive and working today. You say, but wait, we're in a pandemic. You know what? God is much greater than any pandemic. His timing is perfect. Think about it. Joshua could not stop the Jordan River. Joshua could not take care of the walls on his own, but God could. No problem. You know, are you discouraged with this pandemic? Are you discouraged with the politics or the events of our country? Are you having financial struggles through this time? Are you having family struggles? Do you need wisdom? You know, God is the answer to all of this. We need to look to Him. You say, well, during this time, everyone's so closed up, there just aren't opportunities. You know what? Folks need to be saved through this time. You say, but we just don't have opportunities. God is big enough to provide you with opportunities if we're looking. Are we looking to the Lord? You may say, you know what? I have not been born again. My sin is too great. God could never do that. Yes, he can. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse every sin. Earlier in the story of Jericho, God spared Rahab the harlot, a wicked woman, but God spared her and her family because of her faith. God can cleanse every sin. Believer, have we been living in the strength of our flesh, relying on programs? Hey, let's look to God for his working. Come to the Lord Jesus today. You know, let's bow our heads and close our eyes at this time. Just as we close the service here today, we're not going to have a song of invitation. But I know God wants to speak to us here today, and I trust God has spoken to us. And if God is working in your life, don't reject him today. In this quiet time, do business with God. Have you been born again? If not, pray to him. Cry out, Lord, save me. Believe in him today. Christian, do you have sin in your life? Are we harboring sin? Christian, are we self-reliant? Hey, cry out to the Lord. Confess our sin. Look to him. You may be at home in your living room. Cry out to the Lord. When God speaks, we need to do business with God. Our Father, we do thank you for your great love for us. Lord, as we sang about earlier, we thank you. You are an almighty Father. Lord, we thank you that you are working. You are working in our world today. Lord, we thank you. You have not forsaken us. Lord, we're thankful we can go forward in victory, the victory that's been won by the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go forward in power. We can trust you for your power. We can trust you for your timing. Yeah, Lord, it's so easy to listen to the news. It's so easy to get our eyes focused on ourselves, focused on our problems, focused on what's going on around us. But Lord, help us to live above this world. Help us to walk by faith. Lord, we want to be used by you in a mighty way. Lord, help us to trust you. I pray for each of us, Lord, that we would not be proud, but that we would humble ourselves before you. May we learn the lessons from Joshua. We see Joshua went on to do great things through your power. You used Joshua in a great way. And Lord, that's my prayer for each of us, whether we are a teenager, whether we are a young adult, whether we're a senior citizen. Lord, you want to work in our hearts. You want to use us. Lord, I pray that if someone is listening to this message today who does not know you as personal Savior, that they would trust in you today. May today be their day of salvation where they are born again and they are right with you. Lord, we want you to receive the glory and the praise. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. Just pray for you to work now. Use us this week as we go forward. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you for being here today. I trust this was an encouragement. I trust this is a help. I trust that we learn through the life of Joshua. Don't forget, we do have showers here this afternoon and this evening, and everyone's welcome to attend those, ladies anyway. And then don't forget our evening service. Our evening service is not just for ladies. It's for everyone. It's at 5 o'clock, and so we look forward to gathering together here this evening. But it's good to see each other, and want you to know we are praying for us as a church and praying for individuals. Hey, if we can help, please stop by, see us today, contact the church office. We are here to help, and we want to be faithful in what God has called us to do. And so let's go ahead and stand together at this time, and we will be dismissed. Have a great week. Thank you for coming.